And I didn't put a review in there, so I had to do it from memory. So today we're going to talk about, we've been talking to you about discern. The name of the series is Discern, hearing God clearly through all the noise. And today we're going to talk about discernment, discernment, perception, and intuition. Discernment, perception, and intuition. And I'm going to try to help you understand the difference between these and what the believer should be relying on. One of the things, well, before I go there, some of the stuff we've told you, we told you, number one, discernment is a gift of the Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 makes that clear. It's a gift of the Spirit, which means discernment is something that you should desire. You should desire to be more discerning. We also told you that people, discernment is developed as you mature in Christ. You can tell a person's maturity level by how well they discern things, all right? Somebody, and people don't realize, you don't mature just because you're sitting on a pew. I know a lot of people that have sat on a pew for 40 years, and they are still spiritual toddlers. Okay, they're still tossed about by every wind of doctrine. They still don't have discernment. They're still judging things according to their flesh. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. The number three, we told you. What else did I tell you? I told you I got to do this from memory because I forgot to put the review in. Now everybody telling me, hold on. I got some notes, hold on. You can learn to discern. That's right. You can learn to discern. That as you, it's like anything else. And what people don't like is they don't like to deal with the learning curve. There is a learning curve. Okay? And sometimes people, as they're learning to be more discerning, they go through this phase of suspicion, where they suspicious of everybody, you know. Then they go through the deep phase where they think they're so discerning that nothing can get by them and everybody should defer to them because they hear from God so clearly. But eventually, it becomes a tool in your tool belt and you know how to use it the way God wants you to use it, okay? And it protects you from all manner of assaults by the devil. All right, so let's get into this today. Discernment, perception, what? Gives us boldness. And we told you last week when we were at LifeGate Church, our home church, we told you that discernment gives you the ability to say what Jesus said and to say it without compromising, okay? So let's look at this. One of the things that concerns me that's happening is a part of our culture, and therefore it is happening in our church. There's a lot. There was a time when you could look at the culture and look at the church, and the church was so different than the culture that you could say this is what the culture should be. But now you look at the culture, and then you look at the church, and all you see is the culture. The church has started this whole idea of following the culture, whatever the culture says, because that's what's going to get us the most influence, that's what's going to get us the most people, then we got to go with that. Well, as a part of that whole following the culture thing, there's this ideology that has began to corrupt, if I could use that word, corrupt the gifts of the Spirit. I told you all some time ago, there's a church right here in Atlanta. They hired on staff a psychic medium. A psychic medium. And they put an announcement on their website that they have hired this psychic medium to be a part of their church and to lead their church's prophetic ministry. That's my job, to know what's going on. but we know that there is a distinct difference between the psychic medium and the prophet of God. And it is a world of difference. Okay? And this is just one of the things that I'm seeing people do, because they're so... Here's the thing. People want the gifts, but they don't want to pay the price. Everybody wants a shortcut. Everybody wants an easy way. Everybody wants a way where they don't have to do any suffering. When I asked God, I said to him, I said, I know you have given me the gift of healing. I need that gift. I began to really desire it. I need that gift to manifest and show. I need it to manifest now. And I started praying for people. Nobody wasn't getting healed. I was just praying for folks, but nobody getting healed. I got frustrated, and I went back to God, and I said, why isn't anybody getting healed? I know you've given me this gift. This gift needs to be in to operate right now. And it was in that moment that sickness came on me. And for 11 and a half months, I lay between life and death, learning to trust God for healing. Are you hearing me? So for the gift to be released, I had to go through something. Are you hearing me? See, everybody wants to be a prophet today, because being a prophet today, you're popular. I've never seen a time when prophets are so popular. Go look at your Bible. When the prophet came to town, people was like, oh, here he come again. Because they knew that the prophet was going to get in their business and tell them about themselves. And a lot of what's being passed off as prophecy, the Holy Spirit told me, he said a lot of what's being passed off as prophecy is the spirit of mysticism. Soothsayers. Psychics. There's a guy, travels the country. Y'all don't have to worry, he'll never be here. But he literally was supposed to be one of the leading prophets in the country. And they showed a tape side by side where this psychic was doing a reading and talking about what was about to happen. And he was saying the same thing word for word. And so, you know, okay, either you and the psychic are tuned into the same channel, or you rehearsed it with the psychic before, you know. Because we're in this time. And so there are things that are being passed off as discernment that aren't discernment. All right, let's look at Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44. 23 and 24 is our scripture for today. He says, moreover, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Hold it right there. He said, you're going to have to be taught. It's going to have to be somebody's job to teach you the difference between what's holy and what's profane. And so also that you can discern between unclean and clean. I've seen people prophesy accurately, meaning everything they said was true. And the Lord tell me, that's not me. That's not me. That cup's dirty. When he tells me the cup's dirty, he's telling me don't drink from that cup. Anybody here ever drink from a dirty cup? Yeah, I didn't think you would. Next. In a dispute they shall take their stand to judge. Wait a minute. What'd he say? In a dispute they shall take their stand to judge. They shall judge it according to my ordinances. They shall also keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed feasts, and sanctify my Sabbath. So we also learn now that discernment gives us accurate judgment. it helps us to judge things the way God would judge them. Are you hearing me? It helps us. Here's the way I like to say it. It helps us to think like God. All right? All right, let's move because I'm already 10 minutes into this and I told you I was only going 20, 25 minutes. Intuition is a work of the flesh. Intuition is a work of the flesh. Who here has ever heard the phrase, just use your women's intuition? Yeah, y'all heard that? Okay, that's why y'all get in so much trouble. Because your intuition, sometimes it can be good. But a lot of times, intuition, because it is a sense root or a flesh thing, it perceives things wrong. It sees things, and it's not really that way. But you have your intuition to listen. I had a dream one time, craziest dream I ever had. That's probably why God don't talk to me a lot in dreams, because he know I'm crazy. And the Lord was trying to warn me about something, about someone. But his illustration in the dream was he used my wife as the person. And in the dream, my wife was cheating on me. I woke up mad at her for 3 days. It took me 3 days to process that whole thing. I was like, what in the world? And so she was like, when I finally told her about the dream, she was like, you could have just asked me. I'd have told you the truth. You know? My point is that if we don't get on God's plan, if we don't stay on his page, then it's easy for us to jump to intuition, our flesh senses, that tell us. How many of you have ever had someone? I'm talking about somebody. You're a part of their life. They're a part of your life. Maybe you work with them or something, and y'all are cool. And then they just don't speak for a few days. And be honest, we go through this psychosis because we're trying to intuit. We're trying to figure it out intuitively. What's wrong with them? First it starts out, I hope everything's okay. That's how it starts out. I hope everything's okay. They're not their self. Then, question, I wonder what I did to upset them. It's not like them to not talk to me for 2 or 3 days in a row. Then, maybe I need to say something to them. Now you got attitude. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm talking about you. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I know this is you. I'm doing my impersonation of you. I'm playing. But what I'm saying to you is, you've totally read the thing wrong. Maybe they found out that their mother has cancer. Maybe they found out they're getting ready to get laid off. And you trying to be intuitive. You're trying to figure it out. And it's all about your feelings and your emotion. This is what intuition is. Intuition is totally about how. So your perception or your way to your ability to read a circumstance is based on how you feel about that person, how you feel about that circumstance, how you feel about that place, how you feel about that thing. It's all sense ruled. It's all feelings ruled. Excuse me. Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or spiritually understood. So your natural man has no, listen, I don't care who you are, myself included. My natural man has no ability to discern anything spiritual. This is why people say, well, I read the Bible, I just can't understand it. The Bible is the only book on the planet that the only way you're going to understand it, you have to ask the author to read it with you. If you don't have the author reading it with you, you will never understand it. And you can be as educated as you want to be. You can be as, you as smart, you as kind. You can be as smart as you want to be. But guess what? You're not going to understand this. Because this isn't about your ability to comprehend. This isn't about your ability to figure out. This is about your ability to listen to the one who teaches. Are you hearing me? Number two. Perception can be spiritual or carnal. Perception can be spiritual or carnal. Now, we told you intuition, that's the reason we told you we use the term women's intuition is because something I read last night, they said, because the way women are wired and they're more right brain people, they intuit things. They you know, that's where they are. They can sense, they feel. You know, I think it comes from children. You know, y'all have children. You know, my kids were born, and my wife was like, "Baby's crying. Give her a bottle." My question was, "How do you know she's hungry? How do you know?" She's the mama. She knows the different cries. She can intuitively tell that cry is different than the change me cry. To me, it all just sounds like noise. So I'm changing diapers instead of feeding the baby. Baby's still hungry. You know. But perception can be either one. Because we all perceive things. You walk in a room and the first thing you start doing is instinct. You start reading the room. You start sensing the temperature of the room. You can tell who's warm and easily approachable just by the look on their face. And so you can get into that and stay there, and it's not much different than intuition. It's just your ability to look at things and go, okay, you know, We went to vote yesterday, and the line, I was praying in tongues, y'all, when I saw that line. That line looked like it was going to go forever. I let my wife off at the, because I'm thinking this is it. You know, I let my wife off at the thing while I went and parked the car because the line was long. And next thing I know, I see her walking down the street. I'm like, where in the world is she going? The line was down the street, y'all. It was down the street. So we got there, and we got there early, and the line was down the street, okay? So we're standing in line, and there's this couple standing in front of us. They don't look anything like us, you know. Robin, they look like one of your cousins, but Robin is officially the whitest person I know. She did a DNA test. She said, I've got nothing. I'm just everybody else got a little bit of something. I got nothing. So the people were standing in front of us, and my wife is standing there. She's cold. I'm cold, but I'm trying to be manly about my cold, you know. So I'm standing there, just put my hands in my pocket, put my hood on. My wife starts doing this little dance. You know, she's cold, so she start, you know, she start moving. She start high-stepping. You know, she doing all this stuff, trying to get her blood going so she can be warm. Well, what's funny is, the lady in front of her, they're almost like, they like the Temptations. They was both. And so my wife starts laughing. The lady turns around. She's laughing. And we start talking, the four of us. We just start talking, her husband, me, and my wife, we're talking. And That's all perception and intuition. I perceived that they were easy to talk to. I perceived that they were warm. Are you hearing me? But there is a, I'll tell you the rest of that story later, but there is a spiritual side to perception. Let's look at the scripture. Matthew 22, 16 through 18, Jesus says, it says, and they sent their disciples to him, talking about they sent them to Jesus, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one. See how flattering they come? They come, you're the best preacher ever. They got a plan. For you are not partial to any. Next. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their malice and said, Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Told y'all Jesus was both the most loving and the most offensive person to ever walk the face of the earth. Now, here's what you got to understand. The Bible says he perceived. That word perceived literally means to know. Now, here's the difference between, I say that spiritual perception is the advanced level of discernment. And most people seldom get there. Most of the people you hear prophesying, they seldom get to the level of perception. Here's why. Because what perception does is spiritual perception, it allows you to see into a thing. It allows you to discern. Jesus was discerning their heart, their motives. You understand what I'm saying? So it's one thing to see, like sometimes I've discerned and I'll go, this person doesn't mean me any good. The Lord has just shown me doesn't mean me any good. But then there are other times when I can look and see exactly what they're going to do. I know exactly. I told y'all the story. There was a young man. He was a great young man. We worked together. He lived with us for a while in our home. You know, we helped him out and let him live with us. And he and his family, and he was going through this thing where he was trying to get a job, and he was asking me, Pastor, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? And I was prophetically walking him through the entire interview process. I was literally, by the grace of God, I was saying, they're going to call you back and they're going to say this, and this. See, this is just, I'm talking about high-level perception, where I'm able to look into the thing and tell him, this is what they're going to say when they call back. When they say this, you only say this and shut up. Don't say another word. And so he's going through this, and he's like, they don't even know that. He said, the final thing he said, they didn't know what to do. They were like, finally, the guy asked me, he goes, who in the world is advising you? Somebody has to be advising you. And he said, oh, my pastor. He said, your pastor is a very shrewd negotiator. I don't know how he knows these things. I know him by the Spirit. So he gets this job, great big salary. He comes downstairs. He's excited. He said, Pastor, this is so great. He goes, man, I don't even know how to thank you. And he's all excited. And I stood there and I looked at him. And I said to him, I said, son, I said, the problem with what I do is that God lets me see the intent of people's hearts. I said, and the day is coming and it's not long when you won't even return my phone calls. He literally fell on the floor and started weeping uncontrollably. He said, no. I would never do that. I said, I said you meant to do it. I didn't say you wanted to do it. I said, but I just see that the day is coming when you won't return my phone call. We haven't spoke now, 5 years? And I've reached out to him. He won't return my phone call. See, perception. Spiritual perception tells you the intent. It goes deeper. This is why I tell people, when people call themselves prophesying, especially when they start trying to prophesy into world events and stuff like that, like the guy who got up when President Obama was running for president the first time, guy got up in a service I was in, He said, the Lord, I have an announcement. The Lord has told me President Obama will win this election. And they cheered, like he said, new cars for everybody. And when we got in the back, I asked him, I said, did God tell you why? I said, because the real prophetic thing here is the prophet should know why. Prophets know, they don't know the surface stuff. That's not prophetic at all. If I can do it intuitively, I didn't need prophecy to tell me that Obama was going to win that election. I didn't need prophecy. I could intuitively tell by the way things were going. Are you hearing me? So then I went, okay, this is so simple that a 2-year-old can figure it out. Let me go find out the why. Talking about perception. Next scripture. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Mark 2, 6 through 9. Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus, now this says aware, but in another translation it says perceiving. Immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves. And said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk? So Jesus, again, perceives what's going on internally. He perceives what's going on internally. How does he know? The Bible says that it's God who reveals the secret things of the heart. I was like, people, well, you just don't know my heart. No, you don't know your heart. The Bible says concerning your heart that your heart is deceitfully wicked. It says, who can know it? The heart of a man is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Guess what? The only person who really knows what's in your heart is God. This is why when you do stuff that even disgusts you, you find yourself saying, I don't know why I did that. I don't even know how I ended up in that. It was in your heart. You just didn't know it was there. And so when we're talking about high level discernment, it's about perceiving the inner workings of a thing. Are you getting anything out of this? Next. I got one more scripture. Acts 14, 8 through 10. I almost only had 2 points, y'all. I'm gonna be honest. I almost stopped with just 2 points. I'm gonna just stop right here and go on to bed. But Acts 14, 8 through 10. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him, had seen or perceived that he had faith to be made well. Said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped up and began to walk. So there's another translation that says Paul perceived. He had faith. He had faith to be healed. See, there's a certain level of faith people have to have for healing. Are you hearing me? And so it becomes the job of the minister, all of us are ministers, it becomes the job of the minister to be able to look at this person and look beyond their circumstance, look beyond their condition, and see, is there the healing kind of faith operating here? Now, I've had people come up and they had enough courage to get up here and tell me, I need healing from this. And the Lord, I can see they don't have faith for that kind of healing. And so I just tell them, I tell you what, let's use my faith today. I got enough faith for both of us. We just gonna use mine today, okay? They don't have faith for it. You understand? And sometimes we try to do things and we don't let God talk to us about what it is we're trying to do because we want to just see the glory of the Lord. We want to see something happen. When in fact, the only way it's going to happen is if you're operating a high level of perception, and God can tell you. Because when you're operating a high level of perception, God can not only tell you what the person needs, he can tell you what to do to get the result that he wants you to get. Last point. Discernment becomes sharper with maturity. Discernment becomes sharper with maturity. We told you that discernment is a gift that is for the mature. Mature people don't operate in discernment, and if they do, immature people don't operate in discernment, and if they do, they usually operate more in intuition and that fleshly perception we were talking about. You understand what I'm saying? And so they can easily get it confused. I've had people tell me, but you know, I operate in the gift of discernment. I've had people tell me that, you know, I operate in the gift of discernment. And it takes everything in me to say, you do? I really want to say, no, you don't. But I've learned to just say, you do? Oh, that's so precious. Yeah, that's how you do that. You see, it's just Taylor. It's like when somebody gives you something. Somebody gives you something to eat, right? And you don't know this person all that well, and so you take it because you've been gracious. Well, then you see them again, and they say, "How was it?" See, I've got a response for that. I just say, "Oh, it hit the spot. It hit the spot." That's what I tell them. I say, "It hit the spot," because that's what we call the trash in our house, the spot. It hit the spot. You can get a dog named Spot. It hit the spot. I'm just telling you. So, what was I talking about? What's my point? It becomes sharper with maturity. Let's look at the scripture. I'm ready to wrap this up. This is Hebrews 12 through 14. Now, we've been reading to you Hebrews 14, but I want you to see in the verses leading up to that what the writer talks about. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." Now, he's talking about people who should be mature, but they're immature. He says, "By this time, you should be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." So this is a dude who is really getting in somebody's face about their level of immaturity. Okay? Next. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an..." And you don't get much more immature than that, right? You don't get much more immature than an infant. Watch this. Next. "The solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So he's letting us know this is a process of maturing. Here's the thing. He said they practice. Here's the thing. More discerning you want to be, more discerning you'll become. I was thoroughly impressed a couple weeks ago when I asked Morgan, "What is God talking to you about right now?" She said, "The need for discernment." And he said, "He's really talking to me about the need for discernment, how much our generation needs to discern." And I said, 21-year-old person. God's talking to, I know some folks, 45, 50, God still ain't talked to them about discernment yet. They keep making the same stupid mistakes. And then they talking about, "It's a hard knock life for us." I tell people, life is hard. Life is hard. It's harder when you're stupid. Just remember that. Just remember, because you know, If you don't, there's two ways to learn everything. You can learn it the hard way, which is what a lot of people choose. A lot of people choose, they don't realize they choose suffering. They're choosing to suffer. Because you can't coach this person through anything. You ever met somebody you can't tell them nothing? Everything you say they got to answer for or excuse for. And then after they done messed up and you, they, every time, first of all, you tell them, you give them solid advice to keep them out of the ditch. Then they run the car in the ditch, metaphor now, they run the car in the ditch. They not only want you to get the car out of the ditch for them, they want you to fix it for them too. That's why you got to learn to leave them in the ditch. And I wait till they get into a really big ditch that's like in a waterway and it's starting to fill up with water. Now panic has set in, a sinkhole. Panic has set in and they, yeah, stupid. Keep doing dumb stuff. Yeah, keep doing dumb stuff. The Forrest Gump principle. Forrest Gump. That was by Prophet Forrest Gump. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you helped us to get through this, and I thank you for your people. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you that you are using each one of them in a mighty way. I pray, God, that you would continue to move on them. I pray that you would continue to teach them how to be a discerning people. How to be a discerning people. I pray, God, that everyone in this room would operate in a high level of discernment. They would not only see what's happening, they'd be able to see the why. They'd be able to see clearly your plans. I pray right now that you would move upon each and every household in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.